Hey there, and welcome to another episode of Analytics Neat. I'm your host, Bill Bruno. For those of you that might be new here, Analytics Neat is a weekly podcast. It comes out every Monday. I tend to cover media, marketing, analytics, technology, and data, and I do it in a short format to try to make it something easy for you to digest and then move on with your day. I also love interacting with all of you, so you can reach out to me directly on Twitter, at Bill Bruno, using the hashtag AnalyticsNeat. You can also give the podcast a follow, at AnalyticsNeat on Twitter as well. So if you have any ideas, topics, questions, concerns, hit me up, and I'd love to chat. And whether you're an avid listener of the podcast or you're new here and you like what you happen to be hearing, then please rate, review, and subscribe on whatever platform you prefer. If I'm not on a platform that you prefer to listen to, let me know and we'll try to figure that one out too.
So folks, I hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. I hope you stayed safe, wore a damn mask. If you're in the Midwest like me, based out of Chicago, you got a lot of snow on what was Royal Rumble weekend. Not sure how many of you follow wrestling. I know there's a bunch of you out there, though, in the Neaters that do, and it is by far my most favorite event in WWE each year. So I hope those of you that did watch it enjoyed it. Truth be told, peek behind the curtain, I'm recording this on Sunday afternoon ahead of the Royal Rumble, so I don't know who won. The snow's a lot of fun, though, because we got a ton of it, and we have a 12-pound little dog named Otis at home. The snow was above his head, so we kind of had to shovel out some areas there to allow him to go outside. In other news, I was not aware of this, but there were a ton of issues getting last week's episode live, and I had to even fight with it a bit over the weekend as well with Spotify, with Apple, with Amazon to get that to resolve, even though the feed was updated as intended and was reading just fine. For some reason, I had to resubmit in several locations. So if you didn't hear last week's episode, that should be in your feed now, and there's some good stuff in there, so I highly recommend you go back. I talk a little bit about SMS usage and marketing. I do a couple of warnings about data breaches that I came across that I was notified about, just to give you a heads up. But most importantly, I covered Google's page rankings that are going to go live in May, as well as the three KPIs behind that that are going to matter to your business. So if you care at all about your search position, whether that's in paid or organic search, you definitely should go back and give that a listen. Again, it's a short episode. I apologize for those of you that maybe did not even realize that it had posted last week. Thank you to several of you who reached out on those issues. And I think that's now resolved, but I'll keep an eye on it. Just thinking about all of these issues, I actually might switch up some of the hosting to try to deal with all of these changes to keep up with things, because every single feed and provider sort of wants different things. So I want to make sure that I keep this thing live on all of the appropriate channels. I'll keep you updated on that, though. It shouldn't be a switch at all to any of the submissions that are live that you're subscribed to currently. I'm just going to try to centralize the feed a bit and optimize that. Also, speaking to some of the new listeners, there are several in the past several weeks who have asked me to do more than one episode a week. I really appreciate you wanting to hear more from me in a week. Thank you so much for your support. That just can't happen. It takes a lot of time and effort to put together content, even just for this short format podcast. I have a lot of respect for the people out there that are doing a lot more, that are doing multiple per weeks or several hours. I want to keep this just a weekly short hit for everybody to kind of cover the news, give you some of my thoughts, talk about things going on in the industry. But if you are new to the podcast and you want to get some more content, there are 148 other episodes in the archives of this podcast. There's about 100, I think, limited that'll show up in the feed on Amazon, Apple, Spotify, or others. But there's all of them on my own website at billbruno.com as well, if you want to go all the way back to the origin story. So take a look at that, and I'd welcome any thoughts and feedback on any other topics that you'd like me to cover. So that's a bit more of housekeeping than we normally have in a given week. Let's go ahead and jump into this week's undercard. I'm going to start with Amazon. There was a story published on CNBC recently that I wanted to cover, and it was basically a survey from Cohen, C-O-W-E-N, in case you want to Google that. And they surveyed 52 senior U.S. ad buyers in December, and they collectively represent about $15 billion dollars in U.S. ad spend. So it's a pretty large contingent of ad spend. And they were asked their various opinions on investing in advertising on Amazon, Google, Facebook, Snap, Twitter, Pinterest, TikTok. There might have been even a few others. God only knows. There's so many places now that influencers have opportunities to make money, isn't there? But from everybody's perspective in these interviews, they all sort of highlighted Amazon as a gainer among the major digital ad business in 2021 and 2022. So while they saw some staying level, while they saw some actually shrinking, they all sort of highlighted Amazon as one that they saw as sort of taking more share out of the overall pie in the U.S. advertising market. And they were basically saying that they were seeing a shift from about 7% in 2020 to about 11% heading into Amazon in 2022. So that's a big shift. But I think the reason I bring this up is, one, just to make you aware. I mean, we've talked about Amazon as a growing giant in the ad business for quite some time, going back probably even a year and a half ago or so, when we started to report on some of the revenue that they were pulling in and the fact that it was their fastest growing revenue stream. And Amazon's made a lot of acquisitions in the space in the form of technology to be able to give them even more data. We talked even, I think, 4 or 5 weeks ago, maybe, I don't know, time is all relative during a pandemic. But we talked about how Amazon was actually offering in a beta group $10 a month, I believe it was, to get access to receipts that you were, for purchases that you're making in other places. So here's why I'm bringing that up. This is what I found funny. Within a few of the articles, buyers, you know, talked about how they were seeing a strong return on investment from Amazon, which is great. That's what you want to be able to see. You want to be able to measure that in order to understand whether or not your money is going to do the most work for you with digital advertising, especially with all the issues in digital advertising that we've talked about. But here's the other funny part that I wanted to cover, because in the buyer's eyes, they also said that it appeared to them that Amazon was less exposed to the ongoing privacy debate and all the Apple privacy changes for ad tracking on the iPhone. And I might have actually laughed out loud. A lot of people say LOL and stuff like that, and they're not necessarily legitimately laughing out loud. I definitely did as I read that, because come on, folks. You have to realize, like, Amazon's growing a pretty large ad business. They're just trying to keep their nose clean. They're keeping their head down, and they're letting all the behemoths fight it out. And they're trying to fly under the radar, but they're doing the same thing. At the end of the day, as all of these advertising conglomerates have to make adjustments for the new world, they're all going to be building up larger walls for their walled gardens. That's just a fact of the matter. And how quickly we forget that Amazon, you know, has been in the news for the things that they're rolling out, the stuff that monitors your garage, the things that they've done with Ring, so on and so forth. Alexa always being on and somehow funneling that into advertising, even if you're not aware of it. And there's so many things that have happened. It just so happens that we've got a recency bias and everybody's looking at Google and Facebook and Apple because those are the ones that are being discussed right now. But Amazon just quietly growing that ad business and hoping nobody looks their way. It's kind of like in the Royal Rumble. When you get tired during the match and you kind of just stay on the ground and you roll over to the corner and you just lay there for a while and people forget you're in the match. Same thing. Amazon's taking a breather right now. They're gassed. They're hoping nobody sees them and they're going to pop up at the end and hopefully win the entire match. And that really does tee things up. We're just going to keep this Royal Rumble theme going because it is definitely time to get ready to rumble between our two friends in the industry, in Facebook and Apple. And I don't know how many of you have been following this. I'm fascinated by it. I think it's fantastic. Get your popcorn ready. This battle is going to be better than Mayweather and Pacquiao or Mayweather and De La Hoya, because in this case, both companies are in their prime. But the CEOs of both Facebook and Apple have been taking shots at each other. There are some fantastic quotes. You know, Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook are taking a stance that Apple is really just trying to help themselves, that they're not necessarily just representing the people in this privacy stand that they're taking. You've got Apple's CEO, Tim Cook, turning it right around and basically saying that you know there needs to be a punishment for disinformation and conspiracy theories and algorithms, and that we can't turn a blind eye to technology, and that says all engagement is good engagement, and blah, blah, blah. And it's going back and forth. And there are now rumors coming out that Facebook is going to file a formal antitrust lawsuit against Apple for these App Store rules and the blocking of IDFA specifically. This is going to be a lot of fun to watch the back and forth. To me, though, taking a step back and ignoring the banter between Facebook and Apple, this is about something much larger, and this is about something that marketers, I think, really need to get their arms around, and that is that this back and forth in the U.S. without legislation that actually governs privacy at the U.S. sort of national level instead of individual states is badly needed and probably 10 years behind. You know, GDPR is doing what it needs to do, and there are problems with GDPR. Nothing is perfect, but we don't have that equivalent here in the U.S., and we badly need it. to stop the technology companies themselves from dictating what privacy looks like and instead put this at a government level. And so I think we're going to see that. And I'm not sure when, and it's not going to be easy, but all of this back and forth is going to lead to that. It should have honestly been driven from all of the advertising transparency issues that came out in the Association of National Advertisers study that I was a part of years ago, because that highlighted just how much money was being abused or manipulated through the buying in real-time bidding and programmatic and in the form of rebates and other, you know, benefits that were happening behind the scenes and handshake deals and so on and so forth. And so this is just a constant problem, and you're going to have the big guys taking shots at each other. Apple's trying to be on the right side of history and taking this stance to impact privacy. It's definitely taking a bite out of what Facebook can offer from an advertising perspective. It even came up in their results presentations in this past week. And so this isn't going to go away anytime soon. This is going to be something that continues to be argued in the UK courts that we've already discussed in the archives. If Facebook files this lawsuit, that's going to send the fireworks off. And so we'll have to sit by and see where this goes, and I'll definitely be covering this in future episodes. And that brings me to the heart-to-heart moment, or the soapbox moment, to wrap up the undercard before we get into this week's main event. I just want to have a quick chat about identity. It's unbelievably important that you're managing your customer's identity on your own in a first-party way, and stop relying on others to solve this for you. If you're just sitting back and watching this and waiting to see how it shakes out so that you can adjust your advertising accordingly, then you're doing it wrong. You really do need to take ownership of identity for many reasons. One, your first party data is what's going to be the data that rules them all. It's going to be what you need if you want to do your own contextual advertising, if you want to personalize experiences on your own digital channels. And it's frankly going to be required from a compliance perspective as governance continues to get stricter and stricter around the globe. And at the end of the day, if you are just sitting back and waiting, what you're going to see at the end is that the walled gardens are going to want your first party data to help you better advertise towards people within their walls. Those walls are going to continue to get higher and higher, and you're not going to have as much insight. And are you going to be okay with sitting there relying on that approach with limited views into your own data usage and limited understanding into how that black box works in the first place? Hopefully you're sitting here and in your head, or at least saying out loud, of course not. Then come on, folks, we need to wake up. You need to take ownership. I know it takes investment and time and resources to do that, but now is the time, because it's already several years too late. And as the walled gardens fight this out, as that shakes out and whatever the advertising landscape looks like in the future, if you don't have your first party owned channels and data sets squared away in a way that allows you to utilize that in the most effective and 100% ethically compliant way, then you are so far behind that it's probably not even worth getting started. And so that'll wrap up this week's undercard, and we'll go ahead and jump into the main event, which to many of you needers, this should come as no surprise, because this article or versions of this article anyways were sent to me throughout the week. And it's with regards to Google's flock approach, FLOC. And there are so many what the flock puns, so little time. I mean, people really jumped all over the obvious joke and obvious pun here. But what flock stands for is the Federated Learning of Cohorts. Now, you might be sitting here saying, what is that? Or perhaps saying that pun out loud. And this is Google's potential solution for removal of third-party cookies and individual-level targeting. It's privacy-focused. It's been developed and continues to be developed in an open-source way to deliver relevant ads, basically by bringing large groups of people with similar interests together. So you're looking at a group of people. You're not looking at individuals. It anonymizes who that person is. It groups people into interests, and user information is processed on the device of that individual instead of being broadcasted or shared across domains and so on and so forth. Now, Google is claiming that they're getting a 95% success rate for conversions per dollar spent when compared to cookie-based advertising with this approach. And the effectiveness speaks to the algorithms that they're building, which I'll come on to in a moment. Now, supposedly brands are going to be able to start testing this in Q2 of 2021. Keep in mind that Google has discussed rolling this out in 2022 completely across Chrome, which is almost 70% of browser usage around the globe. But Chrome 90, which will come out in April of this year, is going to introduce sort of the first elements of what Google's referring to as the privacy sandbox, of which one of those tools will eventually be the Federated Learning of Cohorts, or FLoC. Now, there's actually a white paper that Google has published that explains how their algorithms work and how effectively they hide individuals sort of in a crowd and bunch them together, and that the way that they use the on-device processing so that a person's web history is private on the browser and not shared with any other entities or any other technologies. So there's two basic algorithms that happen within this approach. One is one that they called SimHash, and that's basically what groups people by common interests. The other is a sorting LSH algorithm, and that basically adjusts the cohort sizes. You obviously don't want to have sizes that are too large, because then you might start to get different interests. You're trying to basically use the algorithm to get just the perfect group size, so that chances are if you message that group about a particular product that you're trying to market, that all of those people are potentially interested in what you have to say. Now, what's funny here is I wanted to dig into a couple of things, right? One is, what are the implementation recommendations and what does conversion measurement look like? And the reason I want to talk about conversion measurement is that became a massive complaint with regards to IDFA and Apple removing that. And what's funny is basically Apple removing that and offering a different approach is very similar to cohorts, because that's really all you can do. If you're getting rid of individual data and you're trying to get rid of third-party cookies and you're trying to get rid of knowing or sharing too much information about a consumer so that a brand can adjust based upon that individual, then you have to look at cohorts. That's not rocket science, right? But what about conversion? From an IDFA perspective in Apple, we talked in the archives, recommend you go back into what they're offering and some of the limited views of what you can see from conversion and effectiveness about an individual. And for Google, in this privacy sandbox, they're going to offer an API that can report conversions in a way that protects user privacy. So they have an event level API as an example. It's heavily outlined within the white paper that I mentioned that you can seek out. And in the trials, it basically protects privacy by introducing noise, and it limits how much conversion data that the API can send at a time. So basically, the net of this is that advertisers aren't going to have full visibility into conversion. You're not just going to be able to take a download of all data of all the individuals that have interacted with your brand in the various cohorts and look at conversion and what's working and what isn't. As advertisers, you're going to have to prioritize which conversions are most important for your reporting needs. Now, I bring this up because it's something that I've been on the soapbox about quite a bit, and that's the fact that from a digital advertising perspective, the reason it's been the Wild West isn't just about a lack of transparency. It's also about a lack of governance and accountability from the brands themselves. So KPIs are going to have to be pretty strictly defined. Success for these campaigns that you're launching into this cohort-based environment, as an example, are also going to have to be very well defined, because you're not going to be able to dig in and across the data like you've been able to historically. You need to know what matters to the brand, what's going to add the most value, and then leverage these APIs appropriately. Again, going back to my comment earlier in the episode, the walled gardens are getting higher, and the amount of data that you're going to have visibility into is going to shrink. And you're putting a heck of a lot of trust in these entities to be able to match your brand with the right cohorts or with the right individuals, even if those individuals are masked. And finally, when it comes to implementation, just as a final point for this week's podcast, Google's statement is that they recommend companies implement site-wide tagging with the Global Site Tag or Google Tag Manager in order to minimize disruptions during this time. So in other words, Google's saying, trust us. Deploy us everywhere. Worry about the rest later. There's no visibility. And again, anybody that just jumps to do that and says, oh, okay, yeah, no, absolutely, let's go do that. You better be aware of what data you're sending, how this is all going to work, what value you're going to get from it, how you're going to measure it before you jump in with 2 feet and potentially sacrifice your consumer data. But with that, we'll go ahead and put a bow on this week's episode of Analytics Neat. Again, thank you so much for listening. Please rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite platform. Recommend it to your friends. Let's get as many new neaters as we can in 2021 and have some fun with this. I'll be back again next week with another new episode. And until then, have a great rest of your week. Stay safe and wear a damn mask.